May the grace, mercy, and peace of God, our Father, be with us this morning and forever. Amen. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the 13th chapter of Romans. It's Romans chapter 13. And beginning with verse 8 and reading through to the end of the chapter, verse 14. And reading the words in Jesus' name. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but in strife, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray this morning that you would be with us and that you would give to us a message. That, Father, you indeed are in control of all things. And, Lord, we pray that your word would be spoken in all of its truth and purity, for it indeed is truth. In Jesus' name. This particular chapter, and as it has been talked about, and Colossians talks about it, Ephesians talks about it, even Jesus mentioned it, but it has to do with obeying the rules and regulations of man. And obviously that is, you know, was an issue here during this time, was it, and as it is an issue even today. Jesus himself said that to pay tribute unto Caesar, whatever is Caesar's, pay it to Caesar, and pay tribute, or whatever is God's, pay it to God. The first part of this chapter, he starts out and he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained are of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinances of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. God has, his kingdom is designed to be orderly and to be just. There was a book that was written many, many years ago and had to do with the laws of the land, if you will. But there was a statement in there that I remember hearing of, and it said that the laws that pertain to the populace, if you will, the laws that pertain to law and order, they are designed and made for the common good of mankind. Not for a specific group, not for a specific group of people or for specific individuals, but they are designed and written for the common good. And you see, that's the way God has ordained it. So that we as people living on this earth obey those laws, and things progress orderly. Now, that's not to say that if a rule comes through that would tell us that we can no longer worship God, or we can no longer obey him, as John and Peter had to deal with in the fourth chapter of Acts, when they were proclaiming God's message after the day of the arising. And they were hauled into the council, and they were told to stop preaching that, because what they were preaching was totally contrary to the Jewish faith at that time. And Peter's message to those, to that council, was, should we obey man or should we obey God? And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but the point is that God's word is supreme over anything that man can ever come forth with. God does allow things. God does give man the intelligence and the words to write down for the common good, for the general population. But he is uppermost in everybody. He is the one that needs to be supreme and at the top of the heap, so to speak. So, as time goes on, people then begin to misunderstand this. In verse 7 of this chapter, Paul says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." He's kind of going down through the list and, you know, hey, you know, give to these people that which they deserve because of their position. Then he goes on in our text. He says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." He's not saying, when I first read this, I'm thinking, well, okay, so that I shouldn't be in debt. Well, that's not what he's actually talking about here. He says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." In other words, your love is to be given to all mankind. Don't withhold it. Don't owe anybody the love. Give it to them freely the way Christ gave to us. Give to them in such a way that they would know and be encouraged to continue on that path that God has ordained for them. "And he that loves another has fulfilled the law." Sounds a little different, but as we go on, these next couple of verses, it all ties together. And then he goes on and he says, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this, namely, this saying, namely." He goes on and he gives the law. Now, in verse 8, he says, you know, anyone that loves another has fulfilled the law. Now he gives to them that list. And then he says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then in verse 10, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." The love and the compassion that we have towards our fellow people, towards our fellow mankind, that is the fulfilling of the law. That is the love and that Christ even had towards us. There are some who say that, and I've heard it mentioned, that loving our neighbor as ourself. So you start thinking, well, you know, those who love themselves, you kind of wonder, well, are they really on the level? You know, I mean, you kind of get to the point where you think that, well, maybe they're conceited, if you will. Maybe I could use that term. But what Scripture is talking about, it's not that we love ourselves. And self-love is not something that is something that was conceited or something that is something that we shouldn't have. But what it concerns, or what self-love is having a concern for others. If you love yourself, you're going to love others. Now, some say that, well, those that have this self-love, they might say, well, those who are with self-esteem, low self-esteem, well, they don't love themselves. But Paul says that those who have a low self-esteem, and I'm paraphrasing this right now, but basically those who have that, they make sure that they're fed. They make sure they're properly clothed. They make sure they have a place to live. They don't want to be cheated or injured or in any way. So those who focus on the needs of others, and this is a true statement, For those who focus on the needs of others very seldom have a problem with self-esteem, because they recognize themselves as having a gift or an opportunity to help others. And that's love. That's what Christ is speaking of. That's what Paul is speaking of. If you have that opportunity to help somebody and don't do it, you may want to take a step back and say, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. But if you're there, ready, willing, and able to take care of a situation that confronts you, and I guess I can kind of speak from experience on this, you walk away with that with a good feeling. You walk away from that with a feeling of, thank you, God, for allowing that to be put in my path and giving me the opportunity to do with what you have given me. I had the opportunity to do that because I knew what needed to be done. I could do it. So this self-esteem is something that we have to look at in such a way that because of it, God is there and we need him even more than we would ever imagine. And as it says in that 10th verse, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And it's the reason why he said that is this the reason when he went through the 10 commandments, this verse right here, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, pertaining to those 10 commandments. You're not going to do what the commandments are telling you not to do. You're not going to go in and commit adultery. You're not going to kill. You're not going to steal. You're not going to bear false witness. You're not going to covet. Why? Because you love. You have compassion on those who may have experienced that, who may even be going through it. But yet you continue to love them and have compassion on them. And that is the fulfilling of the law. Then he goes on and he says, and that knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. These verses pertain to a warning to all of us. But specifically, when Paul had written this to the Romans, specifically he was telling them that, hey, you lived your own life at one time, but now your life is for Christ. So keep in mind that these things can happen to you. Keep in mind these things can happen in such a way that if you ignore worshiping God, if you ignore what his writings, if you ignore the things that he has done for you, there is a danger. So awake from that. Now is your salvation nearer than when we believed. You think, well, yeah, I guess. Well, let's put it in this perspective. When you first started to believe, or when you first heeded the call of the Spirit, are you nearer to Christ now, or are you nearer to the end now than you were then? You have to say yes, because the days have gone by. We say, well, yeah, but the end of time, nobody knows where that is. Well, they are right about that. But your end of time may be this afternoon when you pull out of here and get hit. And I'm not trying to be, trying to put negative about this, but the point is that your end of time is when you're passed on and you're no longer a part of this earth. That's the end of time. So it can happen to any one of us. And it is God, it is a blessing from God that allows us to continue on. And to continue in such a manner that we spread his gospel message. And we continue to say to those who don't believe that even though we don't speak to them, they look at us in such a way that there's something different. There's something isn't the same. And he goes on, he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but in strife and in envying. In the second chapter of James, I didn't mark them, so it's going to take me a little bit to get to these, because I've got several of them, but in James chapter 2, and let's see, it would be verses 8 and 9, he says this, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." What he's saying here, when he talks about the royal law, he's talking about the law of Christ. That loving one another as I have loved you is what Jesus said in John. John chapter 15, verse 12. Love one another as I have loved you. Stop and think about that for a moment. Stop and think about, how has Christ loved me? Well, the obvious things are is that he called me and he died for my sin, and I have repented of them, and I am being saved. My salvation is mine. But it goes further than that. It goes further than understanding that faith and believing that. It goes further to the point that he continues to forgive us. Not just that one time, but he continues to forgive us and love us and care for us. He continues to put situations in our path which allow us to recognize that he indeed is our salvation. He continues to hold over us that umbrella, if you will, of faith and of love. And he continues to pray for us, even as Scripture says, that he is sitting on God's right hand praying for us. I've thought of, over the years, I've thought of things that have happened, and I've come to the conclusion that when I do something stupid, and that happens, and I think we can all probably confess to that to a certain extent, but when I do something stupid, I can picture Jesus leaning over to God and telling him, "I paid for that." And that's what he does. "I paid for that." He paid for all of the sin. And he just asks us to believe. We don't do these things intentionally. That's not the issue. But we're human. And we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to do things that we shouldn't do or say things we shouldn't say. But we can always turn to God and repent of it. We can always turn to the one that we may have afflicted and repent of it. And Jesus is always there and has paid for it. And then in chapter 4 of James, verse 11, he says this, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." To be a judge is not something that God has given us. God has not given us that power. He has not given us that authority. If we are to judge, we look at what somebody has done. How can we dare say that you're going to hell? We can't say that. That's not up to us to say that. I've heard people say it. But no, God has not given us that power. He has not given us that authority. We cannot say to an individual that you are. We could go up to them and talk to them in a loving and a compassionate way. And say that, "Do you realize that the road that you're traveling on, there is a danger of going to hell?" And that's a very real thing. Because Scripture talks about that. If you just continue to ignore Christ, if you continue to ignore the written word, there is that danger. But you must always look towards the towards the salvation that he offers up to us, that he gives to us. And as we continue on in here, the last verse, there's something that in there that I wanted to speak of. In verse 14, he says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Put on Christ. Live according to what he wants you to do. Live according to what he has taught you in his word and continues to teach you. And always look to the scripture first before you endeavor to do something. Pray unto God that he would bless you in such a way that you would do what is right and what is appropriate. Looking again now into 1 Peter chapter 2. We could look there for a moment. And it's kind of a continuation of the same thing that I've been talking about here. But 1 Peter chapter 2. Fingers just are not working this morning. It would be verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And he gives very specific instructions here. He says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." This is God's instruction to us. It is so easy to just go out and say, "Well, you know what so-and-so is doing, why did some elected official that we may have, why is he doing that?" And there's just so many things that we could do. There's so many, and we're all guilty of it. I'm sure we are. You look at this political system that we have today. Boy, I'll tell you, that's very easy to jump on that bandwagon. But we're better off not doing that. We're better off not. And Scripture tells us, even as we read here, he says, "For so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." If you're not a part of that conversation, if you're not a part of that of those things that are going on, nobody's going to be able to point a finger at you. So, "Well, you were right there with the rest of us." Nobody's going to be able to say that, because you weren't there. And hopefully you were praying that God would be able to influence and be able to calm those who are causing all the grief and the problems. Because I do not believe for a moment that God likes to see this. He allows it to happen, but I don't believe that he likes to see it. And in closing, I was reading in Colossians in chapter 3. Third chapter of Colossians, and beginning with verse 10. And we'll read through verse 17. And this is a message that we need to take with us as we leave. And, well, we'll look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God which rule in your peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What a beautiful message. What a wonderful message. And if we could remind each other of that each and every day, when we see maybe somebody stumbling, when we see maybe somebody talking about what's going on or talking about someone else or whatever, just lovingly and carefully remind them, that's not what Scripture teaches. That's not the way God wants us to behave. But he wants us to be compassionate and loving towards all those who are in control, who are in charge, and who also believe. In his name, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would continue to be with us even as we walk from here. And Father, as we go out from here, we pray, O God, that you would remind us of these words, that they would be brought to remembrance at any specific time or a time where they are, when they are needed, that, Lord, that we would be an example of you, an example of the love and compassion that you have towards mankind, and that we would be compassionate to all those who are in need. Father, we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.